104.5 The Zone. Blaine's here. Lucas is here. I am here. This has been one of the craziest Junes in Middle Tennessee, because usually we're watching the Titans kind of finish up their mini camp stuff, which, by the way, they'll be on the field one last time this week before they go their separate ways. But there's so much stuff going on, and college baseball has been such a huge part of that. And I know, you know, Vanderbilt fans are kind of spoiled. They're used to their team going to the College World Series, and they just punched the clock and did it again this year. They're actually the defending champions because there was no College World Series last year. So they're kind of – they're spoiled. They're used to that. But now Tennessee's messed around, and they're doing the same thing this year. They booked their ticket into the College World Series. And I got to say this. I've always liked college baseball. I enjoy it. I worked in the business. I've worked in this business, and I've worked in a college town and covered a college baseball team. That's one of those things where I think people either love it or they don't. But there's something about winning, Blaine, that even if you don't love something, it starts winning and you get excited about it. All those videos out of Knoxville, it looks like they were just partying like crazy around the stadium. And Lucas knows all that area better than I do, certainly. Lucas, it looked like just one big orange party for the people who could get in and for the people who couldn't get in. Although I heard Buck ridiculing they need a bigger screen for them to watch the game on. But, boy, winning attracts fans, and it looked like they attracted a lot this weekend.
They could have used a bigger screen, but like Tony Vitello said, the downpour, the game was delayed. He said if he felt it added fuel to the fire with the crowd outside. So they did a really good job of making people who weren't able to get a ticket still be a part of the environment. And I imagine the environment will be fantastic in Omaha as well.
Blaine, it reminds me a little bit on a smaller scale of just when the Predators were winning and just winning like crazy in 2017. Well, there's only X number of people who can fit the building, whatever it is, 17,000, 18,000. But there were hundreds of thousands of people downtown watching on screens and just who wanted to be a part of the action. You know, people want to be a part of something exciting. If you win, they will come.
Yeah, well, I look at it two different views. First of all, I don't think it compares to the Predators. And the reason why I say that is because it's a pro team, and they were already winning. They were winning the years before. They were winning. They just took it to the next level and went all the way. You know, so that's a little bit different here. I think UT's fans are great, passionate fans, and they're starving for a winner. So that's why they now are showing up. It didn't even matter what sport it was. Yeah. And they were hot all season, and they had this bravado and an air of confidence about them and flipping the bats. And they had this swagger about them. And as a fan base of Tennessee, you have to say, I have to embrace all that. I want to show up. You know, I'm always interested in when one sport is doing well, how much that heightens all the other sports in the sense of urgency. Granted, usually football is the dominant sport of every university, but in this case, it may be Tennessee's baseball igniting the fan base and the team in the football team. So, man, it was awesome to see them do well and make it to Omaha. Naturally, you know, it's a state university, so they're going to have way more fans than Vandy, who's accustomed to winning. But congratulations to both teams. Going to be kind of interesting, man, because, you know, on Friday I said both teams are going to make it, and they made it. I want to see both teams. I think they're in two different brackets. I checked. I think I was right. I could be wrong. Lucas can correct me, but they can eventually meet in the championship, because I think Tennessee may eventually have to play Texas. So that'll be an interesting one if that happens, right? And then Vandy maybe Arizona. But anyway, they both can make it. So, you know, it's an exciting time for baseball in the state of Tennessee. To have two teams in Omaha is pretty, pretty exciting. Now, which team is built to win it all and go take it all the way? Man, that park there at, Ameritrade Park there, that's a big park. So I would say pitching, not batting, but you never know, because Tennessee's bats are hot right now, man. Woo-wee! It was exciting, man. And then hearing the fans at Tennessee, you know, cheering, and then hearing the whistler on the TV broadcast.
Oh, gosh.
And the chanting and the clapping, man. You know, it just made me think, what is UT going to get? They got to do something. They got to top Vandy. What are they going to do? They got to come up with something. They got to, you know, hey, they got to have a Smokey out there barking or something, man. They got to do something. They got to top them, man, because I think this is going to be a regular occurrence for Tennessee fans. Man, they can't let that coach get away. And, You know, he's done a remarkable job in four seasons there to take him to this in Omaha right now in the World Series. So, man, yeah, they got to do something special. Got to get used to being there. So we'll see if that's done by the end of this this trip to Omaha.
I grew up with a buddy who was just a big SEC fan. He'd been to Mississippi State for a couple games, and he always talked about how much he hated those cowbells. He just hated them.
Yeah.
And other fans, and now Mississippi State fans, they love the cowbell. That's right. Their signature. But opposing fans hate it. Well, Vandy has nailed it with the whistler.
Yeah.
Because everybody absolutely hates the sound of that. And if I put the game on TV or watch on my phone, I have to turn it down. I that sound. But if you're a Vandy fan, you like going to the games, you know that gets on the other team's nerves. It gets on their fans' back. You've stumbled into something because of a guy with, you know, a strong jaw or two guys who could go down there and whistle all day and all night.
Yeah, I like listening to it, to be honest. But I wouldn't like listening to it if I was sitting right next to him. That's the only thing that bothers me. You know, on TV and in the stadium, if I'm far away from them, you know, his fans are going to do what they do. Some yell, some, you know, cuss. I mean, it's all the same to me. If I want to block it out, guess what? I block it out. You know, some people do a better job of blocking other things out. I just do a good job of that because I think I was already trained in that way and blocking out the noise and the fans during a snap of the ball in the NFL. Then everything went silent for me. Didn't hear anything until the ball was down. And then all of a sudden you hear the roar. So that's pretty easy for me, but most people not. But if I was sitting right there, it would probably bother me. But, you know, listen on radio, TV, watching it, nah, no big deal. Hey, because you hear all the fans clapping, and then he's right in accordance before them or after them. So, yeah, man, I think that's kind of their signature. He's part of the fan base. Yeah, no doubt. That's why I said, UT got to get something. They got to get something going. I don't know what it is. Somebody, some big-time fan, come up with something. Because they, you know, man, woo, this is going to be right. That's the question. Another question is, how many UT fans are going to be in Omaha? I bet they have the biggest fan base. I'm just going to make a guess because they're still excited because this is their first time. I mean, in a while, since, what was it, 2005 or something like that?
2005, 16
years, right? Lucas there, man, because you can count better than I can.
2005. But I'm wondering, what could Tennessee do to relate the Vols with Omaha? I'm trying to rack my brain.
Oh, that's real easy, Lucas. And you went to UT. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
I'm being facetious. Of course I know what it
is. Check, check, check. Omaha, Omaha, Omaha. Yeah, he became famous for that old. Well, he was already famous. Let me correct myself before I check myself.
Did he say Omaha in Indy, or was that was just a Denver thing, right?
Maybe we only noticed it in Denver. I wouldn't be shocked that he didn't do it in Indy. We just didn't. Wasn't as clear cut because it wasn't in the playoffs or something. Or no, it was a Monday night game or something. It was a televised game and everybody. And he did it so many times. It was like, what? Dang. Wow. Omaha. Man, don't they know what that play is yet? Hey, man, but, you know, we've seen dumber athletes before. As today is Ding Dong Day. Woo wee, boy. I had to narrow my list down.
So many ding dongs. I was thinking about my ding dong this weekend.
You were about your ding dong?
I was. We picked a ding dong of the week on Monday, which, by the way, this is about to be a sponsored event. We're about to put somebody's name on this ding dong. That news is coming. Yeah, that's coming soon.
The ding dong gets a name.
Yes, can't coming soon. Yeah. So that's coming
ding
up.
We'll do come that. A long way.
So here's the thing. You can load up the phones. We're going to do that in hour two. You can go ahead and tweet us now at Blaine and Mickey. Give us your ding dong of the week. There are lots of ding dongs out there to pick from. We'll continue this college baseball talk in the first hour of the program. Chris Lee and Ben McKee both are joining us to talk about Vandy, talk about Tennessee in the next segment. But Greg from Spring Hill has called in. He knows I love a good random stat. So let's sneak Greg in before we take our first break of this first show of the week. What's going on, Greg?
Hey, guys. Doing real well after the weekend. You know, I'm calling this. Let's start naming the month of June with all the college baseball we got to see over the weekend. It's June Madness, baby.
Oh, June Madness. Oh, I kind of like that ring. Hey.
Has been here for sure.
I wanted to say look at the stats of Tennessee and Vandy. Uh-huh. Tennessee, in my opinion, maybe had a little bit tougher road. They put up double digits several occasions, close to it several occasions. Vandy won with a run score of four. And I think they had four runs back-to-back. I'm not sure. But I think Coach Corbin needs to be worrying about offense. I don't think Vandy's rolling right now at the plate. And that's what I would really be concerned about if I was the coach or a fan of the Commodores. But
wait a minute, Greg. I love both teams. You sitting there pitching wasn't good over the weekend? But Vandy?
Oh, their pitching was great. But let me show you. Go back and look at the number one team in the country. Who they start? Who'd they start? Cox. What did he do? Gave up some big hits in the game. Even the great pitchers give up the big hits.
Yeah.
And it hurts your team if you have no offense.
Ah, gotcha.
That's what happened to Arkansas. They've been scoring a bunch of runs, but they ran into a decent pitcher with North Carolina. Matter of fact, that Justice kid put them down the day before, and they ran it to three games because of his pitching, and he won the game, basically, in that third game. So
gotcha.
You got to put the runs on the board.
Yeah. Vandy definitely was slow at the plate, but it's always great in that pitcher's park that they're going to be playing in Omaha. If their pitching is elite, and, that's going to be a tough place. So we shall see. Hey, UT's pitching was solid, by the way, even though they gave up some runs. As long as you have one more than the other team, and they did have way more to run, then you did a good job in my mind. So, hey, we shall see, man. On any given day, that's what I love about baseball. Dallas Baptist? Woo! I know it's in Dallas, but where is that? See, I love baseball. You got a couple pitchers, don't matter about no size, who's so tall, who can run so fast.
They're winning 2-0, top of the fourth.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, if you want proof of David can win this instead of just Goliath, Coastal Carolina won the College World Series before they joined the Sun Belt. They weren't even in the Sun Belt yet.
Were they independent?
And they won. No, they were in like the they were in the Southern League or something like that. One of those little smaller leagues that played 1AA football. Those Rascals won and then joined the Sun Belt.
Baseball's a funny deal, man. You go, man, we should destroy this team. No, I'm saying you lose. You go, nope. The heck?
Wright State's given Tennessee more trouble than almost any SEC team besides Arkansas over the last 2 months.
Yeah, man. It's interesting, man. There's no gimmies. No gimmies. None.
Well, that's when we started the show, and I was saying, you know, the people who love college baseball love it. The people who don't, well, they love a winner when the winner starts winning. But that's what the people who love it love about it, is anybody can show up. It, you know, they play those midweek games.
Yeah.
And, you know, Belmont will play Tennessee or Vanderbilt or Tennessee Tech or whatever. And sometimes they'll beat those guys.
They're up for the money. They better be on top of the game. Yeah, I love watching that. Yeah, so you never know. But, hey, got to enjoy that as just being, living here in Tennessee, that two Tennessee teams made it to Omaha, man. Ooh, that's awesome.
Blaine, you nailed it, too. Imagine a football one like that at UT. Look at the party we saw with baseball. And you said people just party around the winter. And this lights a fire under other programs. If I'm Rick Barnes.
Thousands of people.
Yep. Oh, gosh. If for football, that whole city would be partying right now if they were on a run. And, I mean, it's going to be pretty soon where 12 teams can get into the playoff. So you're going to have more chances to go further than anybody's ever had in college football. All right, we'll keep the baseball. We'll pick this up again later. College baseball discussion coming next. Chris Lee, VandySports.com, Ben McKee from Swain Event, and also from VolQuest set to join us. Next, Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Yeah, Tennessee, state of Tennessee, the hub of college baseball. The Vandy boys have been leading the way on that for a few years now. Chris Lee from VandySports.com has covered this team, has covered this rise by Vanderbilt. At this point, Chris, is it just safe to say the D word for this team, dynasty? Is that fair?
Ooh.
It is, but, you know, here's the funny thing, Mickey. This isn't the same bunch they had in 2019. It's Kumar Rocker, and it's a bunch of new faces, and I think that's what made the job that Tim Corbin did this year so special. This is not a bunch that is, you know, used to being the guys to do this.
Yeah, I noticed you had written about that, and basically this is something Corbin has talked about as well, you know, last season essentially getting wiped out. They're the defending champs just by, you know, default, but there aren't many of those defending champs who are around to actually defend this thing. It's a bunch of new faces.
Yeah, and it's kind of the worst of both worlds in a way, because they get saddled with all the expectations, and we hear all the things about the scholarships and the talent, and of course Vanderbilt's there, but these kids haven't done it until you've been on that stage and know what it's like. It's hard to know how to prepare, and I think they just did a tremendous job in getting to this point. I know the regular season, I wouldn't call it underachieving, but I think people take conference titles and things like that for granted now. They came really close to winning one of those, and then had injuries and all sorts of things, and, you know, flushed all that, and here we are in the NCAA tournament. They're undefeated so far.
Chris Lee joins us here on Blaine and Mickey. He is at VandySports.com on Twitter. He is VandySports.com. Go there and read all of his work.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Chris. You know, as much as I'm always cheering for Corbin and Vandy baseball, man, I thought there were a few questionable strike and ball calls. What were your thoughts on that? That kind of really impacted the game, and I don't know if that would have changed the game, but I think it seemed like it was pretty clear that maybe they were getting some little bit of home call. What do you think?
Well, when I watched Jack Leiter get a called strike three that touched the edge of the other batter's box, I thought that might have been a little much. But, you know, they also were a team that got a strike three that they thought they had that would have won them the East taken away. And a few batters later, they ended up losing a game. So, look, I thought they got their share of calls this weekend, and that certainly makes it tougher to go against Rocker and Leiter. I think that the NCAA sometimes, I don't know, I've never done an umpire's job, so I don't want to be too critical. But, yeah, I noticed some of that, too, this weekend.
Well, you talked a little bit about this team, Chris, one with Chris Lee with VandySports.com. And what makes this team different? Outside of the two pitchers, I guess, what makes this team special? Because, I don't know, when you look at 2019 team, it just seems like it's not really as much comparable or better team, but obviously they're winning.
Well, the 2019 lineup had one of the best hitting lineups in the history of college baseball. And this team is not that, but I'll also say this. I don't think there's a big hole on this team. Now, could their offense be better at times? Yes. But I look at the guys they put in the field. They're really solid. I look at the first three or four or five guys off the bench. They're about as good as they've been before in that regard. The rotation is great as Vanderbilt has been in baseball. I would argue right now this is the best 1-2 punch at the top of the rotation. The bullpen is not as deep as it would have been with some guys like Sam Loboke and Michael Doolin. But you saw Nick Maldonado and Luke Murphy have been really good in postseason play so far, and they both can be shutdown guys when they need it at the end. And we saw Christian Little. We haven't heard from Christian Little in 2 weeks, but the last time we saw him, he dominated one of the probably best five hitting lineups in the country in Ole Miss in the SEC tournament. I just think this team's got a lot of pieces. It hits for a lot of power. They've got Enrique Bradfield Jr. at the top, who is the fastest guy in the country and steals just a ton of bases. I think you look at this team, it's got the starting rotation. It's got the bullpen. It's got some arms you can use in the middle innings. It's got power. It's got speed. It's got defense. I just think you look at this team and, yeah, maybe it lacks compared to 2019, but who doesn't? But I think on its own merits, it's a tremendous team, and it has earned its spot to get here.
Well, with Chris Lee with Vandy Sports, I guess two more procedural questions. I guess kind of compound question is, why no opening ceremonies for the College World Series this year, as well as what are the COVID, 19 protocols for Omaha?
Can I give you a short answer? Political theater.
Well,
I don't have a better answer at this point. Okay. I think it's silly.
Oh, okay. Well, we're on with Chris Lee. Vandy Sports is giving us the shortest answer in history.
Short to the point. Hey, man, Chris will give you that. He'll give you that short answer if that's what he feels like is the answer. That's why we love having him on. You mentioned some of the guys who stepped up in the pitching realm. This dude has been a real interesting story. Javier Vaz, who has just kind of come out of nowhere and really contributed down the stretch for this team.
Yeah, you know, he was a kid that when they got him a year ago, his dad had been a star at Alabama the last time Alabama, I think, made the College World Series final. He's a kid who wanted to go to Vandy. It just didn't work out for him the first time around. He went to LSU Eunice, which is a JUCO, and I want to say he had about a 530 on-base percentage in his career there. Just a really good on-base guy, and you look at them where they left off, and they lost Harrison Ray, their second baseman. And we're all thinking, this is a kid that they just plug in. He can run. He can play the Corbin type of game. And it just didn't happen for him. I went and watched him in the fall series, and his bat lagged some other guys, and he just kind of fell out of favor and was forgotten. But sometimes injuries can be a blessing, and God knows they had a bunch of them. It forces you to try some other pieces, and they've got some good options in left field in terms of the bat. Jack Bolger's one of those kids. Troy Leneve's one of those kids. Spencer Jones would have been maybe one of those kids had he not had an elbow injury that's prevented him from throwing. But, you know, a couple more injuries hit, and they've not been great in left in terms of defense, and that can be a tricky wall to play at times with the angles and the high wall and all those things. And you look up one night, and they got a matchup they like, and he's out there in left all of a sudden, which none of us expected, and he makes some plays with his feet, and he makes some diving grabs. And, you know, with their pitching guys, they're good enough, as they showed this weekend. Goodness gracious, they gave up one run. They allowed one guy past second base, and they're not hitting a bunch. And when you do that, you don't need a lot on the other side. And Vaz gives them some speed and some defense, and he helped make some run happen when the bats weren't hitting. And sometimes it's about finding the right guy. And oh, by the way, Omaha is a big, big park with a lot of ground to cover. And so I think he's put himself in there nicely. Defense is going to be at a premium out there. Speed is. He's their speediest option. And I think we're going to continue to see him in left out there because he just fits that park really well.
Well, it's going to be fun to watch. Chris, thank you for the time today. Again, people want to know what's going on. Just follow you. Website, VandySports.com, or on Twitter, VandySports.com. We appreciate you, brother. Thanks for the time.
Appreciate it, Chris.
Thank you, guys.
You bet.
Yes, sir. Chris Lee. All right. We got some concert tickets to give away. Lucas, let's give away the tickets. Is Ben McKee ready to rock and roll? All right. He's calling Ben McKee. We'll get Ben McKee on the phone. Also, we got Judas Priest tickets to give away. It's Dad's Week on 104.5 The Zone. Dad's Week. So we're giving dads all kinds of fun things to do. I know this dad would like to see Judas Priest again, talking about myself. So you want to see Judas Priest? Giving them away. Let's do caller number 4-615-737-1045. Caller number 4 will win some Judas Priest tickets, courtesy of your good friends at 104.5 The Zone. And Ben McKee will be on with us here in just a second to talk about the balls side of this bracket. We just thought, why not hit the, you know, let's hit the big story
The big story is Dad's Week. Yeah, because, you know, when it's Mom's Week, they get a laundry list of things every day of the week. So I can't wait to see what my wife's getting me today. I guarantee it's going to be something big. I hope she's listening. She probably not, though. But yeah, I'm sure we're going to get something really exciting. I mean, I am, you know, every day this week, just like she does. I don't think so.
Ben McKee joins us now. Ben, it's Father's Day week. Blaine is expecting to be lavished with gifts. We hope all the dads are out there. Always. Yeah, great talking to you. Now, are you a father, Ben? Have you got the whole family thing started yet?
No, I'm married, but I haven't reached the point of kids.
Okay, well, we'll just have to be those two uncles that ask you every time we see you, when are you having kids?
my wife already puts plenty of pressure on me. I don't need y'all chiming in.
All right. I'm sure, man. Family pressure, boy. It's all over the place from hers and yours. So I'll stay out of that personal business.
Yeah, we'll stick to sports today then. At Ben McKee 14, Sway to Bet, as well as VolQuest.com. So I'll just say this. We were talking about this to start the show. Just even on Twitter videos and what stuff that we saw, it looked like one heck of a party in Knoxville, especially around the baseball stadium this weekend.
Man, it was. It was just an awesome atmosphere. There were as many people outside of the stadium as there were inside of the stadium, and both were equally as loud and made plenty of noise. And I was hoping that Tennessee would find a way to make sure that the screen that they had outside was somewhat on time with the action inside of the stadium. I thought it would be cooler if the reaction inside the stadium was aligned with the reaction outside of the stadium, rather than, you know, a 5 to 7 second delay for the folks watching outside. But Tennessee had a great turnout, and again, the reaction outside was right on time with what was going on inside the stadium. So although Lindsey Nelson only sits about 4,000 people, it sounded as if there were 8,000 people, because again, there were as many people outside the stadium, if not more. And you can't help but think, how many people can Tennessee get to start coming to these baseball games in the future as Tennessee expands down the left field line at some point? And who knows what else Tennessee has in store if Tony Vitello keeps winning the way that he does. But it was an awesome atmosphere. And as somebody who sat through some of the Dave Serrano games 4 or 5 years ago, it's hard to imagine that atmosphere taking place and Tennessee going to Omaha just 4 years later.
Absolutely. Ben McKee, our guest, talking Vols baseball on Blaine and Mickey.
Yeah, Ben, I don't know if you know this answer, but tell us how hard it is to do what Tony Vitello and his staff have done. They really kind of transcended ball baseball since, you know, I don't know, 15, 16 years now, man. How tough of a job and how great of a job has he done with that? How did he do it?
That's the magic question, right? It's been an incredible coaching job by Tony Vitello. It, maybe once baseball season dies down, I can sit down and look at some other SEC football, SEC men's, women's basketball rebuilds, other SEC baseball rebuilds. I would imagine it's up there with one of the toughest rebuilds. And the fact that he has done it in just 4 years, and really 3 years, because I believe last year's team was destined to go to Omaha. I would have been stunned if that team did not make it to Omaha. It was even more talented than this team. And it just speaks to Tony Vitello's job and his coaching staff as well. Frank Anderson, Ross Kivett, Josh Elander. I would imagine, again, I need to sit down after the baseball season is over and try to, you know, compare it to other rebuilds in the SEC, regardless of sport. I would imagine that it's one of the best rebuilds maybe we've seen this century, definitely over the last decade or so, just because it was such an uphill climb. Tennessee's resources for the baseball program were not in a great place, and they've gotten better, definitely not where it needs to be, and that's why you're going to see Tennessee buy into the baseball program here in the off season. But the stadium is probably the second worst stadium in the SEC, and maybe I should say facility and not stadium, the second worst facilities inside the SEC, just ahead of Missouri's. And there wasn't a whole lot of talent on the roster when Tony Vitello took over, and you pair the lack of facilities, the lack of support from the university over the last decade to two decades with a lack of talent, and you're doing it in the sport that I believe is the toughest in the SEC, SEC baseball. It's just a miraculous coaching job that, again, I would imagine it's one of, if not the best coaching job that anybody in the SEC, regardless of sport, has done over the last 10 to 15 years.
You going down to Omaha there, Ben?
I am.
Oh, man, I can't wait to see those shots there. And I have to ask you about the park. Now, does that actually benefit or hurt the way this team at Tennessee is built to help them come away with the World Series championship?
I think a little bit of both, but I lean more towards helping Tennessee more so than hurting Tennessee. Obviously, the way that it would hurt Tennessee, everybody points to the amount of home runs that right. Tennessee has hit this season, especially over the last month or two. They've really turned up in terms of hitting home runs. And TD Ameritrade there in Omaha, it's a big park. You're not going to see as many home runs as you've seen out of this Tennessee team. But I still think the way that this team hits is going to play in that ballpark, because this team hits them in the gap, in the left center gap and the right center gap. They hit them down the line, which obviously that travels in any ballpark. So in a deep ballpark, if you can get some guys on base and you continue to hit those gap shots, they may not be a home run at TD Ameritrade like it is in Lindsey Nelson, but they're still going to be in the gap for base hits. They're still going to be able to drive runs in. So I guess technically, yes, TD Ameritrade will hurt Tennessee from a hitting standpoint because Tennessee won't hit as many home runs. But I still think they'll be able to generate runs because they hit it in the gaps a ton, and that will still generate and produce runs. And then pitching, I do think it extremely just extremely helps Tennessee. Lindsey Nelson is a hitter-friendly ballpark, and it's pretty tough to pitch in Lindsey Nelson if you are a pitcher. And the fact that Tennessee was able to lead the SEC in ERA despite it being a hitter-friendly ballpark is pretty incredible. And so when you take a pitching staff that outside of Blake Tidwell, it doesn't really have any guys that overpower opponents or have, you know, just filthy stuff day in and day out, game in, game out. They pound the zone. They let the defense work. And TD Ameritrade is the type of ballpark that really plays well in. So from a pitching standpoint, I think Tennessee is going to have a very strong advantage. It already has a good pitching staff. Paul Maneri bragged on it following the game yesterday and spoke to people not giving Tennessee's pitching staff enough credit. So you put them in a bigger ballpark that's pitcher friendly, and that definitely plays into Tennessee's winning recipe.
Well, with Ben McKee, co-host and producer of the Swain Event, I guess I would ask you one more quick question. That is, you know, UT is, you know, fan base is passionate about their sports and, you know, just looking for a winner. Do you think they'll be the most represented fan base at the College World Series?
That's a great question. A question that we discussed on the Swain Event this morning. And my answer was yes, initially. And because of the word that you just used, it's that Tennessee's fans are desperate. They're desperate for a winner. And that doesn't mean that they're bandwagon fans by any stretch of the imagination. Tennessee fans and Tennesseans in general are just passionate people. Look what you all have experienced there with the Preds in the Mid-State, and the Titans have made several runs as well. And then East Tennessee is very passionate about its own as well. And the University of Tennessee represents the state as a whole, and there are tons of alumni even outside of the state of Tennessee. So you factor, you know, the large fan base as it is with the fact that they're desperate for a winner and that they've been waiting on something to really get behind and support. And I absolutely think that Tennessee will be the most represented fan base in Omaha. And you throw in the fact that Tony Vitello has really stolen the heart of Tennessee fans. It reminds me of the Tennessee basketball team that made a run to the Sweet 16 and lost to Purdue several years back. These teams are very similar in how they have captured the heart of Tennessee fans through Tony Vitello, through the cast of characters, whether it be Evan Russell or Chad Dallas or Max Ferguson. The list goes on and on. There's several factors, in my opinion, that will lead to Tennessee being the most well-represented fan base there. And it also helps that Arkansas was knocked off yesterday. Arkansas, I thought, was a team that was really going to travel well. And you have some other great fan bases that could potentially be there. Mississippi State, I'm sure Texas will be well-represented. I don't want to leave anybody out. Notre Dame, if they can win the day, I know Notre Dame and Mississippi State are playing each other. But I do think Tennessee will be the best represented.
Man, Ben, I have to ask you this once, so I lied. I got to ask you one more small quick question, and that is, if Tony and his staff take him all the way and win the College World Series, can he outprice himself and won't be back at Tennessee?
Oh, man.
Bang!
Woo! No, I don't think he can outprice himself. I think Tennessee's going to be willing to match whatever Tony wants.
There you go. Quick answer from Ben McKee. Ben, thanks, man. Thanks for the time. We always love catching up with you. Love catching you on the Swain Event, too, at Ben McKee 14. Of course, on the Swain Event mornings, swainevent.com and volquest.com as well. Ben, thank you, man. We always appreciate you.
Appreciate it, Big Ben.
Always appreciate y'all.
Yes, sir. Vol fans, I want to hear from somebody who was in Knoxville about this party we keep talking about, 615-737-1045. Also, Vandy fan, Vol fan, we want to hear from whoever is going to Omaha. And I'd really like to hear from somebody who's been before. I have never been. They say it's the greatest thing. I want to hear some firsthand accounts of this stuff. Also, Titans assistant coach is speaking today. Got some sound from Rob Moore. We got lots to get to. The Zach Ertz rumors, the tight end, those rumors are still out there about the Bills and some about the Titans. We got lots to cover. We got one more hour of the show and one more segment of this hour next. It's Blaine and Mickey, 104.5. So. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5, The Zone. Yeah, lots going on. This is a strange June. We're halfway through June, and there's a lot of stuff going on. Titans are still practicing. They're on the field. Unlike the Texans, these poor Titans felt like they needed to practice one more week. Texans didn't need it. They just knocked off a week early. They don't need, you know, mandatory mini camps. They're fine. I mean, they're probably going to start a journeyman quarterback that'll give way to a rookie and got 17 journeyman running backs on the team. And, you know, they didn't need J.J. Watt or they didn't need Hopkins or a bunch of those stars. So why should they practice? I mean, there's no reason for them to keep doing that. It's just wasting their time building team chemistry and that kind of stuff for a team that's really going to need it. Titans are on the field, though, this week, and then they'll go their separate ways until the end of July. Blaine, I've been meaning to ask you this. Julio Jones was kind of dogged by hamstring stuff last year. How do you take care of hamstrings? How do you take care of them? And I know they're temperamental and they kind of do what they're going to do, but I mean, how does a guy take care of hamstrings?
Well, you probably asked the wrong guy because I never strained a hamstring. That's probably meant because I wasn't quite as fast as most guys.
No, well, you took care of yourself too. You cold up. You did
it's
all
really
stuff.
All about the warm up and everything else. But you know those hamstrings, man, it's unpredictable. Because my last year, I tore my groin off the bone, my adductor ligaments. Didn't even know what that was. You know that thing, it can happen at any time. To me, when you're young, it shouldn't be happening. It means you're not taking care of your body, you're not hydrating yourself correctly, not eating right, all those things. But if it happens regularly when you're a young player, yep. It continues to be something, then there's an issue more than just you have hamstring issues. But I don't have the recipe besides rest and ice. And really, there's a couple secrets there that I used to use. If I would play, sometimes I would be like 90%. I just go to my own average old doctor and get me a B12 shot right in my hamstring. I don't know if it worked or not, but that's what I did. And it would stay at 85% and keep on running. I never had to get up to top speed because I'm sure glad I didn't because somebody would have ran right by me. I mean, that's about all I ever did.
Okay.
You know, people don't understand. And I love to try to explain it. The extreme measures you go to as a, I'm going to just talk about NFL players to stay on the field. The pressure's there from yourself, your teammates, family, everything, because one opportunity by someone else, and if they think they can save money, that player doesn't have to be better than you. They just got to be half as good as you.
Right.
And they can save some money. They can look down the road and say, well, next year, I think it'll be that time. So the pressure to play, even when injured, is high. I mean, so once the season starts, everybody is somewhat nicked up, some more than others. Nobody care about that. You was out on that field, you got toasted. Nobody talking about you had a strained hamstring. Nobody talking about that. You was out there. So all I could say is rest, ice, and, you know, I'm not a, you know, trainer or, you know, therapist on all that stuff. But, yeah, those things are tricky. And that's what he said when he was, you know, talking about it, is because it was probably the unknown for him. And that's what's so crazy is that you think you can go. And then next, you know, you made it worse. You popped it. It was, you know, and then it's over. And you're doing it for the team. You're doing it for yourself. You're doing it for a whole bunch of reasons. Ultimately trying to be a team player, which we all know Julio Jones is that kind of guy.
Yep.
So, there's been some times I was going, man, I think my backup could have done a better job than me in my mind. But ultimately I was going to do the most I could to stay out there. Tough call, man. Tough call. I mean, I just think about, you know, the late great McNair and how much he was out there playing injured. And I used to be like, man, after one half, I'm like, man, he's freaking horrible. Put Neil Donnell in. Come on. Then he'll walk right by the defense and say, I got it. I'm good now. Almost like he can hear me say it. Then he go out there and just chisel him up. I don't know what he got loose, the injury, whatever it was. I used to be like, this guy's incredible. And I'm saying that on the sideline. I can't imagine if I'm sitting in the stand and watching. Cause I'm just watching from, you know, like, man, this dude, he didn't practice all week. There's no way. He cannot do anything right now. Throwing the ball in the dirt, throwing it to the wrong people, throwing it behind people. He'd run up that sideline and be like, I got him. I'm like, you ain't got nobody. You got us. You got this L. Chisel. I'm like, wow, that's it. Whoa. Yeah, man. So you just never know, man. Some guys just can play through it and depending on the injury, some guys not. And if nothing was wrong with his arm, he was good to go.
That dude, man.
Yeah. Yeah, he was killer.
He was that dude.
That was that team right there. He was a killer. I thought I was tough. He definitely surmounted what I thought was tough. I mean, I remember one time he got a shot, a long needle shot when he had a bruised sternum.
Yeah.
I walked in there and said, hey, man, you don't have to play, man. We good to go. We good. Because I was thinking defensively, I think we can shut this team down. We had a great defense. We good to go. If they score one touchdown, that's about all they're going to get. You're like, no, I'm good to go. Let me get this shot and I'm going to take this nap. Huh? Take a nap and a shot, dude. We got them. He's like, no, I'm good. And would say it with so much calmness and ease, like, no, nah, I'm good. I'm good. This was a no-brainer. And I mean, would chisel him. I'm like, wow. No way if I was getting a shot. I'd probably pass out just getting the shot. That thing looked like an epidural shot. You know, when you're pregnant and they get them long needles.
Oh, no.
They shoot it in your back. That's what it looked like. I was like, oh my gosh, I gotta go, bro. Bye, you're on your own.
Yeah, I'll see you after your
and
nap.
I wasn't even scared of shots. I was like, you gotta go. I gotta go. Yeah, man. So there's pressure all over the place. So yeah. And that, but you know, him out there doing those drills immediately like that, I don't think that's gonna be an issue at all. Not at all.
Yeah. Not well, it was good seeing right him out now. There.
But they don't count right now.
No, they do not. We got to count down this first hour of the show. Hour number two coming up. Get your ding dongs ready. We got to give our ding dong of the week. We do that every Monday. And we got some on Twitter already. We will give ours. That's coming up. We also got sound from Titans assistant coaches about guys that you want to hear about and more. This is Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone.